Thank you. Tina Mobley, welcome. Thank you for coming on in. Appreciate you. Who have we not seen here yet? My little Zoe Buttercup has the cutest smile. All right. There she is. And Lord of Land, good to have you back. I think we're caught up. Alex Matsuo, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
I am fantastic. The crowd is rocking tonight, and we're going to have some fun with you. We're going to get going in about 36 seconds here, and you'll be able to hear some really rocking music coming on in, and it'll be awesome. Hey, speaking of awesome, a great way to support this show and what we do, you can do a little shopping at the SOR Vault, which we have at facebook.com/SOR Vault. The Super Chat is open. If you're new, hi, Jose, give us a thumbs up, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button. We're on in 2 seconds. The mountains of central British Columbia to you listening around the world. This, my friends, is Spaced Out Radio. I am your host, Dave Scott, sitting in the captain's chair of SOR headquarters. We welcome you to tonight's show on our terrestrial affiliates around North America and digitally on TalkStream Live and Revolution Radio. If you want to take a listen to our archives, they are free for you at youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do old Davey the favor, hit that subscribe button. You can follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Instagram at Spaced Out Radio Show. Our website is spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. Tonight's show is brought to you by Chive Charities. Help make the world 10% happier by visiting Chive Charities today. You can find them on our website. Alex Matsuo is a paranormal researcher, singer, and author. She is the founder of the Association of Paranormal Study and runs the blog and YouTube channel, The Spooky Stuff. If it's weird, spooky, unusual, scary, macabre, or haunted, yeah, you could tell this girl loves the woo. She loves the woo. She loves to write about it and talk about it. Alex was recently seen on Travel Channel's Most Terrifying Places in America. In addition, she is the host of a podcast, Informal Paranormal. She's written several books about the paranormal, including The Brave Mortal's Guide to Ghost Hunting, The Haunting of the 10th Avenue Theater, More Than Ghosts, A Guide to Working Residential Cases in the Paranormal Field, and The Haunted Actor. Her website, alexmatsuo.com. Then at the bottom of hour number 3, I will bring you the SOR Newswire brought to you by Paranoia Magazine. Alex Matsuo, it's been a long time since you and I chatted, but I am so glad to have you on this show for the first time. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Dave. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too, because, you know what, I think you're one of the bright young minds of the paranormal. You look at things very much with an open mind, a healthy dose of skepticism, and a high quality of woo that you need in order to have some fun and some learn some information about this. So for you, as we introduce you to our audience, tell us what made you find the paranormal so fascinating.
Well, I had experiences when I was a kid, and it both freaked me out and fascinated me. And then I also grew up in a very conservative Christian household where I wasn't allowed to have the woo in the house at all. And of course, when you say that to a kid, what they're going to do is they're going to gravitate to it instead. So it was always this thing I was interested in and I wanted to learn more about. And as I kept researching and exploring this, I just kept coming up with more questions and answers.
Okay. So for you, with those experiences as a young child, what happened there?
Well, let's see. My favorite one that I like to talk about, it was my first big experience. I had always known about weird things, mainly because of my great-grandmother. She used to always treat me to, like, spooky stories of, you know, my grandma and growing up in the mountains of Kentucky and West Virginia and Ohio, like very small town, railroad town area in the Appalachian Mountains. And it was weird. There was always something weird in those woods. And then, yeah, when I was a kid, of course, dark and stormy night. Usually when I fell asleep in this particular room, in this little house in Kentucky, the bed, the mattress wasn't the greatest quality. So when you sat down on the bed, it didn't sink. The whole bed just tipped. So, and of course my great grandmother would, my mama would sleep with me at night. Cause you know, limited beds and everything. And my grandma always took the nice bed. And so I always knew when my mama was coming to bed because the bed would tip. Not a problem, you know. And the bed would tip, I would slide down and I would hit her body, and that's how I knew she was there. One night, dark and stormy night, as I said, it was raining. I thought I saw a shadow figure outside. It really freaked me out, so I ran to my bed, got under the covers, because, you know, nothing will get to me if I'm under the covers, because, you know, blanket rule. And like maybe 5 minutes later, the bed tipped. And I'm like, oh, thank God, Mama's here. The bed tipped. I completely slid off the bed. She was not there. And after I fell to the floor, I looked up and I watched the bed go back to normal. Like, whatever had been sitting there got up.
No way. So, did you see it or just feel it?
I just felt it. Just felt it. I didn't see it. I thought I saw it when I was looking outside on the dark and stormy night. But yeah, it was weird, but I also remembered there was always something like walking around the house at night and it would bang on the walls. And my mama would say things like, oh, that's the devil trying to get in. You better pray, child. You know, and I'm sitting here like, okay. So.
Yeah, wow. Wow. And you know, how old were you when that happened?
7 or 8 years old. I was in elementary school.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, with that instance happening with you, were you scared? Did you carry that fear along?
I was freaked out, but I was also super fascinated. I was like, oh, what was that? And, of course, with all of the stories my mama would tell me, you know, she would tell me things about one night, you know, a set of twins in our family, one murdered the other, and the moon was like blood red that night. You know, she was always telling me all these really like myth and lore rich stories which I don't know how many of them were true. I'm sure they were based on some sort of truth and then she embellished them, but I just loved these stories. And meanwhile, my grandma and my mom were telling like, Mamaw, you're scaring Alex, stop. And I'm sitting here like, shh, Mamaw's talking.
Oh my goodness. So how did you carry this love for the paranormal straight through?
Well, I always, anytime, like, I grew up in the days of SNCC, so, I mean, I'm a 90s kid, so Are You Afraid of the Dark was, like, my go-to thing for scary. I was, like, reading, like, the Goosebumps books, and anytime there was, like, movies about ghosts and everything, I would try to watch these movies, too, and my mom would not, like I said, she would not allow it into the house. So it was one of those things where I had to like basically sneak around. Eventually we did move in with my grandma. So my grandma didn't really care as much. So most of the time I was watching Are You Afraid of the Dark in her room and all these things. And of course my dad would humor me too. But he would like take me to the extreme and, you know, oh, let's watch like extreme horror movies. And, you know, I'm sitting here like, this is a little too freaky. Like, What Lies Beneath gave me nightmares for weeks. So I just kept, I kept finding resources to learn more as much as I could, because I loved a good ghost story. And when I was old enough to drive, I would sneak out at night and I would go to the local cemetery because, you know, that's what you did. And yeah, I mean, I just really wanted to learn more. And even with books, I would try to check them out at the library, or if it was too risky, I would dog ear the books and put them back on the shelf and I would go back to them the next day in the library. And then when I was in high school, well, no, it might have been a little, I think I might have been more in middle school, Ghost Hunters finally came out. And that was a game changer for me. I mean, because before I was watching, like, Scariest Places on Earth, you know, any type of late night TV that was paranormal themed. Yeah, I just wanted to learn more about it. And Ghost Hunters blew me away because I'm thinking, holy cow, there's people that do this? Like, they go out and investigate people's homes? Like, that's nuts.
You know what? I fell in love with the paranormal going back to Paranormal State. I thought that was just the most amazing show. And you know, like you, I kind of had this whole idea wondering, you know, wow, people do this. Look at this. We've always talked about it. I wonder why nobody does that. And here they were doing it. I never fell in love with Ghost Hunters ever. And that's not a shot against, you know, the guys there doing the show or anything, or Dustin Perry wearing his visor upside down and backwards that drove me nuts, which I did tease him about when he was on this show. But to me, they never solved anything. And I always felt like they left every episode with more questions than answers, and it bugged me.
Yep. Yeah, Paranormal State came out when I was in college, but I did have a few couple of disturbances, like one my senior year of high school and another my sophomore year of college, so I kind of shied away from the paranormal a bit, because according to my mom, I went too far, and, you know, it was demonic and all this stuff, and not one true, it was just we just didn't understand what was going on. That's my best guesstimation. So I ended up taking a break from the paranormal for a bit because I got freaked out. It got scary, but not in a good way. And then after I was done with college, with grad school, I ended up starting a team. So, you know, I ended up going back to it.
Of course. There is a lure about this that is just very much about, you know, the passion and desire to find out. And we're going to get into your blog here that I think is real important coming up, because recently you wrote a blog called 15 Things Paranormal Investigators Should Stop Making a Big Deal About, which is the reason why I got you on. And we're going to talk about that in the next half hour. But for you, when you decided that you wanted to be a paranormal investigator, how did you learn? Because there's a lot of people out there who listen and they're like, darn it, you know, I'd love to try that. I just have no idea how. And let's face it, television shows are not the best piece of education out there when it comes to paranormal investigation.
Mm-mm. Yeah, 100% agreed. So when I first started out, I mean, I did eventually watch stuff like Paranormal State and everything, and I did reach out to a couple of local teams around me, and I basically just said, hey, I think this is something I might be interested in doing, but I'm not 100% committed yet. Is it possible I could shadow you for a couple of investigations? I just want to see if this is something that I want to do. And all of these teams locally were great. They were like, oh yeah, come to one of our meetups, or hey, we're having a team meeting this weekend, you know, feel free to stop by. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I did that for about 3 or 4 months. And then I had a super busy schedule because I was also working. As you know, I'm originally from San Diego. So I was also, you know, commuting back and forth to and from LA because I was also working in the entertainment business. So I was just really busy. I mean, I'm busier today, but I was busy back then too. I couldn't commit to a team, but I really wanted to do it. So I ended up starting my own team. And that's the Association of Paranormal Study. And we're still going. So we're actually coasting on our 10th anniversary coming up next year. And yeah, that's kind of where I started. I just kind of took what I liked from all the teams that I shadowed. A few of them did get offended that I started my own team, but I also said, hey, if you're willing to work with my schedule, I would be more than happy to join. And then they look at my schedule and said, No, go. Good luck. Have fun. No hard feelings.
Alex Matsuo is our guest tonight on Spaced Out Radio. We're talking paranormal all night long. It sounds like you were one of the lucky ones who had a good introduction to the paranormal, people who were willing to help you. There's not a lot of that as this field has become so competitive. So So for you, now being a seasoned veteran in this field, and you've met a lot of people, it's led to some great and prime opportunities for you. What advice do you give newcomers who want to try this out?
Oh, let's see. Well, one, never stop learning. I think that's one of the biggest flaws in the paranormal field, or at least in the community, where because there are no experts, quote unquote, there are people who still know a lot about like the field, and not even just like, you know, I'm not even talking about ghost theory, because that's where a lot of people assume there's no experts. It's all about field experience, X, Y, and Z. I think that's where this community gets in trouble. And I think I touched on one of these things in the actual blog, but there are experts in photography. There's experts in videography. There are experts in psychology. And all of these real world concepts do translate into what we do in the paranormal. So it's important to see, you know, to see what people are doing in those areas. And there are other ways to keep learning in the paranormal. So, I mean, read a book, listen to a radio interview just like this, watch videos. There are so many resources out there. Just never stop learning.
Okay, so learning is something, and keeping an open mind. But, you know, one of the things that really picks my skin when I look at all paranormal teams, because we're always researching on who to bring on, why we should bring them on, looking for any type of story angle. And when I look through the roster of a lot of these teams, they always have that team skeptic. Why?
Yeah.
Why? And I've asked a number of people, why do you have this? Because if you literally need someone whose only job on the team is to try and debunk everything, then you're not doing it right, in my opinion. You're not.
No, and I agree. I mean, and I love skeptics too. I think they're so important in this field, but we should all have a skeptic perspective too, because otherwise that's why we have people thinking dust orbs are ghosts, and it drives me batty. And then of course, when people send me their pictures and I give them my thoughts, they're like, well, you're just closed-minded, or you don't know everything. This isn't 100% for sure. And I'm like, I'm a photographer. This is a point that's in the troubleshooting section in your camera. If you read the manual, I'm a photographer. I know what this is. And then of course it's like, well, we can't know for sure. It's like, no. Yes, we can know for sure. Like, just please take a photography class, something, you know?
No, I understand that. But have you noticed over the last number of years, especially, that anytime you're critical of something, and I mean critical in a positive sense, because there's enough negativity out there, that people are really ready now to go absolutely berserk in labeling you, doxing you, all because you had questions or you had a differing opinion than they did. Where did that come from?
I don't know. And I think a lot of ego is involved too, because we put way too much weight on data. I call it data a lot. Some other people call it paranormal evidence. I try to not use that word, because evidence implies that, I mean, there's evidence for a murder case, you know, that's tangible. That's something we could see, we can touch, we can feel. But I like to call it data, because I just don't like to use evidence. That's my personal perspective, though. But we put so much weight into that, and you you wouldn't believe how many people I talk to who swear that they have the evidence that's going to change my mind. And then I look at the picture and I'm just sitting here like, it's a bug, it's something. But I try to say it as kind as I can. I say, thank you so much for sending this, just based on my experience and as my background, in my background as a photographer, this is what I think. And I do say, this is just my opinion, though. This is just from my perspective. This doesn't mean that the paranormal experiences you're having are not valid. Just to me, this isn't the ghost that's been haunting you. And, oh my gosh, you would have thought I insulted somebody's grandmother. And I just think we just put way too much weight on it. And until we can actually trap a ghost and put it in a box and be able to study it and know, like, what they're made of, it's all going to be theory. But, and people are entitled to their thoughts and beliefs and theories. I just think it's just taking it way too personal. They just take it so personal.
You know, a number of years ago, I actually stopped for a long time in bringing paranormal teams on this show. And a lot of times our audience will say, hey, how come you haven't had any paranormal teams on or taken a lot of paranormal topics? And there's two big reasons. Number one, paranormal teams always are, I find them very aloof, that they make a commitment and then they no show.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened a lot. Out of all the guests that have canceled on this show, 90% of them have been paranormal teams at the last minute. And
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. That's number one. Number two, they never know what they're going to do with their evidence. So if you want to confuse a paranormal investigative team, say, what do you do with your evidence? Well, we collect it. Well, what do you do after it? Well, we go over the data and see what we caught. Great. What do you do with it from there? What do you mean? What do you mean? Well, what do you do after you go through your evidence? What do you do with it? Well, we put it in our resource or shop and compare or whatever. Okay, well, what do you do with it? 99% of the paranormal teams out there, Alex, have no idea what they're trying to solve or what they're actually doing with their evidence. Is that a lack of education or is that a lack of focus?
Oh, I think it's a little bit of both. I'm gonna tread into dangerous waters here.
You can blame it on me. You can blame it on me.
It's okay. So let's look at the overall demographic of the paranormal community and the education levels of folks in the paranormal community. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I promise this to anyone that's listening, it's not a bad thing. But the overall demographic, the majority of the paranormal community don't have a college education. They also don't have critical thinking skills. And it's not necessarily because they didn't go to college, but I have not met a lot of investigators with strong critical thinking skills and who have gained strong research skills. Because, I mean, there are sciences out there where it's literally just based on theory. I mean, we have the field of parapsychology where you do have an academic approach to this field. And lately I've been noticing people are muddying parapsychology and paranormal investigating, and they are two very different categories. But I think it's just a lack of critical thinking and just also a lack of just education. And I don't know if it's just based on like demographic of where they were raised, but I prefer working with parapsychologists or working with people who are, who've got a little bit more of an education. And I sound so elitist right now, but they have a process. And I mean, when I'm doing my research, you know, when I was in grad school, I mean, I was studying Shakespeare and studying Shakespearean authenticity. I can never prove it.
Right.
I can never prove it, but I collected the data.
Right.
I did my research and I would do something with it. It's something that I had to do.
Hold that thought because that's an important topic. Alex Mitsuo, our guest tonight, alexmitsuo.com. The Spooky Stuff is her blog. It's amazing. You need to read it. You need to subscribe to her YouTube channel because this is a good one, everyone. We want good eggs around here. This is a good egg. More Paranormal Talk with Alex right after this. All right, we're clear.
Cool.
That's a fast half hour. Fast half hour.
It was. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice kitty.
Oh, yes. I have them shut out of the bedroom. So they're not happy about it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, we ask every newcomer to this show two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is just for our YouTube audience. All right. They're serious questions. What is your thoughts of eating breakfast foods for dinner?
Oh, I've done it. Do it. I'd say do it. I don't know. I eat eggs for dinner sometimes, so I'm totally fine with it.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. Yeah, I thought you were better than that. I did. All right. Number two, when it comes to Devil's Tower, are you on Team Stump or are you on Team Rock?
Ooh, Team Rock.
Oh for two tonight, people. Oh for two tonight.
Whoops.
I'm going to have to ask these as prerequisites to coming on the show now. Anyways. All right, we'll let you stay for tonight. Oh, let's see here. Oh, we got a bunch of people moving in here right now. Saying hi to everyone. Hey, Thurston. Go ahead.
I was going to say, to be fair, though, the only reason why I say team breakfast is because I have a very limited diet now because I had surgery on my stomach not too long ago. And sometimes eggs are the only thing I can't eat. So
that makes sense. That makes sense. Well, let's see here. Adam from New York. Been waiting to say hi for a while as I've been listening to your SOR podcast to and from work for about 6 months now. Became an instant fan. Give me a shout. Adam! Adam Lane in New York. You better be a Yankees fan, man. You better be a Yankees fan because if you're a stinking no good, ought to be tossed out of the MLB Mets fan, we're going to drop the gloves. We're going to drop the gloves, yes. Let's see here. I just had to say that. Get that out. A little bit of anger that you caused there, Alex, by choosing breakfast for dinner and Team Rock.
Sorry.
Where's my pilgrim hat, Jack? I'm Canadian. We had Thanksgiving last month. I'm in mourning here, people. I'm in mourning because it's 9:33, which means it's 12:33 on the East Coast, and I'm not seeing anything on Facebook about brawling or punching or kicking or ripping toys from children. You know, shoving people into the aisles and knocking boxes over. I'm not seeing any of this. You know, I'm really not. I'm a little hurt here, people. I'm going through withdrawals right now, Black Friday. Black Friday withdrawals is officially a thing. I need my safe zone. All right, Alex, we have 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute. And hi, Pam Palm. And let's see here. Big Bad Adam in New York. And I just love finding out where everybody is from. Oh, there's the spooky stuff with Alex Mitsuo. Look at that. Look at that.
Figured I'd chime into the chat.
Well, we appreciate that. We really do. I love your website. It's so easy to navigate.
Oh, thanks. I'm actually trying to redesign it, but I don't know. I go back and forth. I'm like, do I want to do like the stereotypical spooky aesthetic with a black background and white text, or do I want to keep the white and blue?
I like the white and blue. It's different. It's you.
True.
It's you. Hey, Dirty Filth. Waylon. That way I don't have to type them. I can just say them. We got about 25 seconds here before we're going to come back. And, yeah, a reminder to all of you that you can do a little bit of shopping at the SOR Vault. Go to facebook.com/the SOR Vault. Grab yourself a new T-shirts. Hey, Jason, how are you? Hit that subscribe button. Hit that thumbs up. Ring that bell. And the Super Chat is open for all of you. We love the support around here. Here we go. Second half hour of Spaced Out Radio is now underway. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Dave Scott. Appreciate each and every one of you tuning us on, and including Adam in New York, who's tuned on in, been listening for 6 months, and finally...
Shop Kohl's Black Friday Super Deals and get $15 Kohl's Cash for every $50 spent, plus an extra 15% off. Save on Google Smart Home products. Get Amazon tablets $39.99, Sharper Image earbuds $19.99, and get 50% off games and toys, plus free store pickup. Shop Black Friday Super Deals Thursday and Friday only at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Select style. Select deals valid November 26th and 27th only. Limited quantity while supplies last. No rain checks. 15% offer valid November 22nd through the 27th with promo code ENJOY15. Offers and coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Ho, At Academy Sports and Outdoors, the sounds of great gifts and Black Friday deals are everywhere. Starting now and all week long, get up to 50% off game tables like ping pong, air hockey, and shuffleboard. Up to 25% off Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour apparel and footwear. And up to 50% off bikes and electric ride-on vehicles. Shop at Academy.com and get free shipping on orders over $25 and free curbside pickup. Or get Academy gift cards. Black Friday deals start now at Academy.com and your local Academy store. Exclusions and restrictions apply. While supplies last, see Academy.com for details.